I mean, they were so hopeful that Jesus would rule and reign immediately. Although Christ had told them over and over that what he was going to have to go to the cross and die, they didn't understand. So many times the Lord will speak to us and we just don't understand, do we? That still happens to me sometimes. He's speaking to me or he's speaking to me through his word and I just don't quite understand what he's saying to me. Well, they didn't. And so when he died, their dream was shattered. And in fact, their encouraging times, from their perspective, at least I think from many of them's perspective, they felt like all had failed. And possibly even felt like failures themselves. Well, after all, they had failed Christ, most of them, not all of them. A few ladies and John hung around, but the rest of the guys took off running, and Peter even denied Christ through that whole process. But Easter is about hopelessness that turns to hope. That sorrow that turns to joy. Where failure turns into success. And let me tell you, just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. Because we've all failed and we'll all fail again. And that's what the Easter resurrection is all about. Their night turned into day like that. Because Christ did rise from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. And we know because He lives in so many of us. And there's many of you here this morning that maybe you haven't made Christ your Savior. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. I want to introduce you today to the resurrected Jesus. Can I get a hand clap for that? Let me tell you a story. I've told this one, but long, long time ago, and probably most of you haven't heard it. There's a story of a man that was extremely sick. He was so sick, he was had even become somewhat mentally feeble. His health was in great decline. He had lost a lot of weight. The doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with him. He was just sickly. He had a cabin in the woods. Whew, that sounds really nice to me, a cabin in the woods. He went out to his old log cabin. And the first night there, he hadn't been there in many months, he had a dream. And actually, he felt like it wasn't just a dream, but it was a vision from the Lord. The Lord still does that, by the way. And in that vision, the Lord spoke to him. Christ spoke to him and said, when you get up in the morning, I want you to go out in front of your cabin and push that big boulder that's in front of your cabin. Now, there was this huge boulder, half as big as this stage, about 50 feet from his cabin. He woke up the next day and he was extremely thrilled to death. Because all of a sudden, he had lost hope with his health. He was mentally, emotionally, and spiritually hopeless and helpless. He had basically gone to that cabin so that he could just die. But in that vision, he knew he had heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got up that next day and he was really thrilled. Listen, when God speaks to you, it does something on the inside. It'll energize you. It'll thrill you. It'll edify you. It'll motivate you. It'll do all those things. He got up and he went to pushing that rock. He pushed that rock 8 or 10 hours a day. He go to take a shower, go to bed, get up and do it all over again. He found great joy and great pleasure in obeying the command of the Lord. And it gave him meaning. It gave his life purpose and a reason to be. Well, about 8 months in, he woke up one morning and he thought to himself, I don't think I've moved that rock an inch. So what he decided to do is get his tape measure and measure from his front step to his front porch all the way back to the boulder. He pushed a week and he measured. It hadn't moved a bit. He pushed another week. He measured. It hadn't moved. at all, he began to get discouraged. He began to get down on himself. 8 months turned to 9 months. A few weeks later, he measures the distance, and that rock has not moved 1/32nd of an inch. He sat down on his front porch. He was extremely disappointed. He was upset with himself and upset with God. Probably none of you have ever been upset with God, but he was upset with God. Oh, maybe you have. He was so disappointed and so tired and so burdened. He said, Lord, I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. I know you've spoken to me. I pushed and I pushed and I pushed, and that rock hasn't moved 1/32nd of an inch. I have failed you. I'm a failure. He sat on the front porch and he began to cry. I think the disciples felt very similar to that. I think there's many of us in here this morning that have had the same feelings before about even ourselves and our walk with the Lord. I think at times it's made us anxious. It's made us afraid. It's made us doubtful about who we are in Christ. And yet we know 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So Jesus is going to show up, and I'm going to stay in Luke 24 today to encourage the disciples. He's going to show them that he's alive. Now, you remember, there were a lot of dynamics here if you read all the Gospels. But last week, we talked about those guys on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking with them. They didn't even know. It was a 7-mile walk. They got to the house. Jesus sat down with them, and when he began to eat, their eyes were open. And they saw that Christ had risen. Can you imagine a 7-mile walk, walking with the Lord and not even knowing he's there? Because he's always there. Well, they got so excited after realizing who it was. You know what they did? Walked the other 7 miles back to Jerusalem to go visit the disciples. You can read all this. But that's a 14-mile walk. For me, it's a mile on a treadmill. By the time they get back, Peter's there. And by now, Peter has seen the risen Lord. Some of the ladies have had an experience and had an encounter. And I mean, they're just kind of having a hallelujah party. They've gone from complete hopelessness to a ray of hope. See, everybody here this morning is not hopeless. Everybody's not in the valley at the same time. Can I get an amen on that? But we're all of us in the valley of life sometime. So everybody here this morning isn't hopeless, but there are a lot of you that feel like maybe even God's given up on you. But then there's others here that maybe even as I started speaking this morning, there is just a flicker of hope of some area in your life. And this is what you see here. There's a flicker of hope here. Now, while they're talking, and can you imagine the energy in the room? It's like the roller coaster ride. You've been at the bottom, now you're at the top, now you're going, yeah! I mean, that's what I do on roller coasters. Well, what do you do? I mean, y'all sit like this? Well, y'all think y'all reading my mind? Jesus appears. Now, we talked about that in table talk. I won't unpack that. But he shows up. He didn't knock. he walks in, he appears, and in Luke 24:36, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. Can somebody say, wow? A few simple takeaways this morning. When Jesus steps into your life, irregardless of where you're at, and in this life, the scripture says, you will have trouble and tribulation. It's coming in this world. It's guaranteed in this world, isn't it? Somebody say, oh me, Pastor, it is. We know it's coming. But when Jesus steps into your world, there's an opportunity for you to experience the supernatural peace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you here this morning, he's with some of you and you don't even know it. And he stepped into this house this morning. I had somebody tell me this week the reason they come here is they say, when I get here, God's here. Well, he is here through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Jesus Christ is standing here, manifesting in our midst, and he stepped right into your life this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for the peace of Jesus Christ. And he brings total peace. And he's the only one who can bring total peace. You see, without Christ, we've got this big hole inside. We were created that way, that only Christ will fulfill. But I tell you, when all hell breaks loose or you've given up on your prayers, celebrate who Jesus Christ is. Ask him to be involved in your life. Leave it at his feet and think about the good things and who Jesus is. Call it calm. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. But Jesus brings peace. He didn't knock that time. Luke 24:37 said they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Maybe it's not a ghost you're seeing. Maybe Jesus has stepped into your life. Maybe the reason some of you are so uncomfortable is the Savior stepped into your life. What was that? Did y'all hear that? Well, the prophetic people are going to go crazy now, so calm down, prophets. It's just a kid dragging another kid across the floor in children's church. I'm sure there's some symbolism in it. They were startled and frightened. And then in verse 38, he says, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? I might ask you what Jesus asked those disciples today. Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt in your mind? He's here to bring peace. Don't be troubled. If Jesus is in your life, don't be troubled. Let me tell you something. I might not get off point one. If you're our guest, we could be here a while. We won't. I'm eating popcorn. I don't know what you're doing afterwards. I'm eating popcorn and a grape snow cone. It's my favorite. Back to the ranch. Sometimes he's just there. He's always there. It doesn't mean you're always saved. You have to ask him into your heart to know salvation, but he's always there. I think of the times when I ran from God, running from God, running from grandmama's prayers, ran 1,200, 1,400 miles to Florida, thought I would escape grandmama's prayers, running from God, carried my Bible with me, but I was running from all of it. Sit down at the bar, bartender, start telling me about Jesus. Jesus was still there. He didn't knock. He didn't knock. First day on the job, and my boss was giving me a little orientation, and while it was a driving job and while we were driving, and we shouldn't have been driving because we were doing some other things we shouldn't have been doing. And I thought, well, I'm safe with the boss. He's as big a sinner as I am. He asked me if I was a Christian. Well, you know the answer. Well, sure. I mean, I was lost as I could be, y'all. He said, so am I. And then he began to tell me about Jesus for 30 minutes. I'm going, dear Jesus, you can't run from God. He just shows up. Some of y'all running from God this morning. Everywhere you go, He's there. Somebody will tell you about Him. There's tensions in your life. You're thinking about Him in your mind. You run over here, He's there. You run over there, He's there. You run to church and God's there. That's a novel idea. He's here. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. Some of you are here this morning unsaved as well as saved. And Almighty God was here when you got here. And He's knocking on the door of your heart. But you've got to make an invitation and invite Him to come into your life. Come on now. Don't be troubled. Why are you troubled? Why are doubts in your mind? Hasn't Jesus promised that you would have a future? Hasn't Jesus promised in His Word that He has a plan for every one of you in this place? Jesus has a plan for your life. I get excited about that. Sorry. You see, God is good. God is good. You just think on that one all week. You think that's a simple principle. Sit down in your devotion in the morning when you keep that appointment with God we've been talking about and just think about the goodness of Almighty God. He understands. Jesus understood. I mean, you think now, come on. These boys blew it big time. They're the ones that traveled with Him for 3 years. Night and day, He was mentoring them, sowing into their life. And boy, Peter and I think the rest of them, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere. I'll die for you. I love you with all my heart, Jesus. And in a few minutes on Easter weekend, they were terrible flops. When Peter denied the Lord, he even cussed. I don't know blankety blank blank know him. The Lord still showed up. I said that Jesus still shows up. He understands. He loves us unconditionally. Look, sin's not okay with God because sin's destructive. He loves the sinner. He hates sin because sin is always destructive. It always leads to destruction on this earth and forever. That's why God hates it. That's why He also sent His Son that loved us so much. He went to a cross and paid a price for our sins, which was death. We owed God death to be forgiven of our sins. He went to a tomb, carried those sins to the tomb. And now this morning, He rose on the third day. Hallelujah. And He understands. And He's kind. And He's patient. I don't know about you. When I start thinking of goodness of God, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, dear Lord Jesus, thank You for being so patient with me. And so merciful. And so good. Jesus Christ is God, and God is good, and Jesus is good. Do you see the Lord on your side? Or do you see Him against you? He is the ultimate judge, and He will judge the living and the dead someday. But that's the picture that so many of you have. He's for you and not against you. He loves you so much He gave His life for you. He'll wait for you. He gives you the choice. He doesn't make the choice for you. He doesn't pressure you. He doesn't make you. He gives you choices. You can choose to have Christ as your Savior this morning. You can choose to walk in intimate relationship with Christ and make that relationship the key part of your life. Jesus is good. God is good. Jesus is a gentleman. But I think sometimes your concept of God is he's up there with a big sledgehammer. Yeah. I wish I'd have brought my sledgehammer. I'm glad I didn't. I messed this new stage up. We get the idea that he's up there with like a big sledgehammer. Boy, I got to be careful because I got to keep moving. But see, because some of the authority figures in our life over the years neglected and abused us, they never told us what we did good. They always told us what we did bad. Come on now. And so we get this picture of God that's not God at all, because I am telling you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is on your team and he's on your side. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's for you today. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about don't worry about yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow. Just take care of today. He'll take care of you today. He's not there, you know, and we try to behave, and we should try to behave. We need to, this Bible here teaches us what to believe, and it teaches us how to behave. But dear Lord Jesus, I can't behave 60 seconds on my own. I can't behave a day on my own, and I want to live. Look, we need to practice what we preach. Maybe some of y'all have left churches because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, churches aren't a bunch of hypocrites. We're just people that aren't complete, yet we're being complete. We're people that aren't, we're far from perfect. We make mistakes all the time. We stumble. We get in the flesh. We say things we ought not say. We do things we ought not do. Greater is Jesus that is in us than he that is in the world. I can't serve him for a day, but the grace of God is sufficient. Jesus Christ's grace is made sufficient in my weakness. Somebody give me an amen on that. I'm wanting a snow cone so bad. I dreamed of grape snow cones. We better have grape. Whew. Don't y'all get all the grapes before I get there either. I see some of my board going, they're going to get all the grape. So there is a resurrection. We heard those testimonies last week. You can't argue with a testimony where somebody was healed. You can't argue with a testimony who somebody God rescued out of a car wreck and she gave her heart to Christ. You can't argue with a testimony where the young lady says Jesus Christ set her from a drug addiction that was going to kill her. And she's been free and sober for 6 years for the glory of Jesus Christ. And she gave God all the glory. And she gave God all the glory. And Randy, you got the dead gum cutest little granddaughter. Buddy, she's won my heart. You and I may have to, I want her. What a good kid. She's eating all my candy, but other than that, she's a good kid. I have a chocolate ministry for children only. I keep it in my office and the kids know. They don't even have to knock. Pastor, give them a piece of chocolate. Kids only. You have popcorn and snow cones and donuts. Jesus said in Luke 24, he's talking to these guys. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It is me. Touch me and see. And then he says, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So he said, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. He's saying, here I am. What do you think the greatest enemy of man is? And there's a lot of enemies out there. It's death. Could there be any greater enemy than death? I mean, sickness is one thing. Some of the trials we go through is another thing. But I don't think there's a greater enemy than death. Because death comes from everyone sooner or later. Right? She said no. Well, he or she would have just doesn't know yet. Aren't you glad there's a literal resurrection? I'm not going to take long, but stay with me. Jesus was beat. He was beaten so bad when he was whipped, he was not even recognizable as a man. He had to carry his own cross. He made it part of the way, and then somebody had to carry the cross. They nailed him to the cross. He did all of that for us. The wrath of God was being displayed on the sin of mankind, and Jesus took the wrath. He was whipped. He was sliced. Probably thousands of stitches. He was beat to a pulp because he loves you and me. Does that sound like a God that's holding a sledgehammer? He loves you that much. And then, of course, he went to the cross and he finally died. But now on the third day and today, he rose. He has a new body. He's in the body. He's in the flesh. This morning, though we know that he's at the right hand of the Father, I'm getting to that, don't jump ahead, Dale. But because he rose from the dead, we will rise from the dead someday. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because he rose with a new body, I get one too. In heaven, I can have hair again. Unless he chooses to give me a new body with a nice, bald head. We get a new body. Because there's a resurrection, we're going to die. But because of the resurrection, we're going to live again. And we're going to live forever. And we're not going to be sick. And we're not going to be worried. And we're not going to be depressed. And we're all going to be good looking. Look at your neighbor and say, you're ugly. No, don't do that. Don't do that. One of our core values around here, and most of you know, but if you're our guest, we believe you can come to church and have a joyful attitude. That the joy of the Lord. So we laugh a lot, but we learn a lot. Man, a new body? Are you kidding me? It'll be a literal, physical body. Because ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Some of y'all this morning, you need to walk out of your grave. When Jesus raised Lazarus, Jesus said, come forth. Lazarus had to get up out of the grave and walk out. Some of y'all like your grave. You love being down. You love being depressed. You don't, but it's your comfort zone. You love being sick. You bought into your sickness. Some. You like your addictions. You like your bad habits. Come out of the grave this morning. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is here this morning, manifesting through the power of the Holy Spirit. Step out of your grave. The grace of God that's manifesting here this morning is sufficient for every man, woman, and child in this building. But you've got to step out of your grave. You've got to quit liking your sin. Step out of that grave. For some, sin has you and you don't like it. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith toward Jesus. Take a step of faith. Say, I'm sick and tired of anxiety. I'm sick and tired of depression. I'm sick and tired of sickness. I'm sick and tired of alcohol. I'm sick and tired of drug addiction. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm going to come on out of my grave. You've got to come out. You've got to walk. You've got to walk out of your grave to get free. Now I got red in the face. Sorry. I try not to do that anymore. Babs, remember when I used to preach red in the face? But she knew me. A friend, 28 years, I haven't seen her for 28 years. She knew when I stayed red the whole 30, 40 minutes. I've come a long way. I've learned to throttle up and down. And y'all should be glad you weren't around when I started first preaching, because I was like this. I would never stop, high gear the whole time. Wore me out and everybody else. Still just as excited about Jesus, because he's alive. I know if I can feel him in my soul, I can feel him in my bones. Are you going to walk out? Are you going to take that step this morning, some of you? Jesus is here to meet you. And then, of course, he said that, and I'm going to hit this quick. He went on to tell him in verses 47, 48 that I'm going to make you my witness. Said, I want you guys to leave here and tell folks that through repentance there's forgiveness of sins by the grace of Jesus Christ. Church, we got to go out there and be a witness. That's all we have to be. Just tell folks what Jesus has done for you. Show them the way to salvation. It's amazing. Jesus is the way to salvation. And then he went on to tell them, and I'm just hitting these quick. In Luke, by the way, Luke 24 and 49, he said, go to the city and wait. I'm going to send what the Father promised. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. So he said, not only am I going to send you out from here, but I'm going to give you the power to do what you can't do on your own. And so he sends the Holy Spirit, just as he still does today. And then in Luke 24 and 50, it says this, when he led them to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Wow! There's two accounts of what is called the ascension. You'll find it in Acts chapter 1 as well. And Luke, who wrote Luke, also wrote the book of Acts, so he chose to write about it twice. You can find that later. You know, in the Word of God, Jesus told his disciples the night before he was beaten and crucified, as he spent his last meal with them, he told them a lot of stuff. You want to read some good stuff, John 16, 17, and 18. Woo! But he said, look, John 14. In John 14, he said, he was telling his guys what's going to happen and that he was leaving. He told him, but I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Right? He told him all that. You can read that in those chapters. And then he also said, oh, by the way, where I'm going, you can go too. He said, in fact, I'm going to go, and while you're down here, this is Dale's paraphrase version, okay? Jesus was a lot more articulate than I am, okay? He said, now, you can come later, but while you're here, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, but I'm going up there, and John chapter 14, glory be to Jesus. He said, where I go to prepare a place for you. Ooh, I may get that cabin in the woods yet. Come on. Not only do we get a new body, church, it's going to be hard for me not to shout, so get ready. Not only do we get a new body, no more arthritis. We get a new home. Jesus said, I'm going to have prepared it. For those that know Christ, there's a new home. It's called heaven. And Christ is there, the Scripture says, standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. He's standing at the right hand of the Father, and the reality of the Godhead is made known through the Holy Spirit while we're down here. The reality of knowing Jesus Christ is made reality through the power of the Holy Spirit. And wherever you're at this morning, you may be like that man pushing that boulder, and you've given up hope. And if you haven't, you'll have a season like that. I'm telling you, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, because Jesus Almighty God is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. He's for you. He's not against you. And it's, look, we're only going to push down here so long. I'm about pushed out. I don't have many pushing years left. I'm starting to see the horizon. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, so don't get happy. just having fun. But when you get through pushing, there ain't no grave going to hold your body down. And it's not what you're leaving. It's where you're going. It's not about this earth. It's about your heavenly home in your heavenly body with your heavenly Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Glory be to Jesus. He's up there building my cabin. And because of that, now today, the Scripture said in Luke 24:52, that after he went up, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Their mourning turned to joy while they were on earth. And because he's risen, whatever we're going through this morning, he can turn into joy. Our hopelessness into hope. Our sorrow into laughter. Isn't God good? Do any of you this morning feel like that sickly man? Push and you push and you try and you try. And things just don't quite work out like you thought they were going to. And you fall off your bicycle, you get back up and ride it. And you're here this morning because you haven't quite given up yet. You've pushed and you pushed. I knew the prophetic word was right on. You once had a dream, a goal, of some things that God put in your heart and your mind for your future on this earth, but you've given up. Maybe it's just an area of your life. You've given up on that son or that uncle or that mom that doesn't know Christ yet. You're tired. You've prayed the prayers over and over. Or you've tried to get free and you're free for a while and you stumble again. You thought you were in control and something had you. You once had a dream, but it seems like over and over that dream has been crushed. You're tired. You're about ready to give up. You're like that man crying. In your heart, you look. Many of you, you're smiling on the outside, but you're crying on the inside. Jesus showed up. That man was crying, and the Lord speaking through the Holy Spirit as that man was sitting there weeping, speaks, and he says, "Why are you crying?" Almost kind of like what Jesus did. Guess why are y'all so confused? I've been telling you. He shows up and he says, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying this morning?" The man said, "Lord, don't you know I'm tired and I'm weak and I pushed and I pushed and I failed and I pushed and I failed and I pushed and I failed and I'm at this place that what little bit of hope I had, I've come to think it was a false hope. Lord, that boulder has not moved a 32nd of an inch." He's just venting and he's crying and he's weeping and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "I never told you to move the rock." You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you go, Spirit speaks and said, "I never told you to move the rock. I told you to push the rock." He said, go in the house. He said, what do you mean go in the house? He said, go in the house. There's a mirror in your bathroom. I want you to go take a look. The man goes into the house and he steps in front of the mirror and he looks at himself. And he's looking at a different man. He's not the man he was 9 months before. He's strong. He's healthy. He's fit. He's not sick anymore. See, the plan was never about the rock. It was about the man. The plan is not about what's going on in your world. His plan is for you. And for those of you that know Christ as Savior and you fell in this category, He's making greater and better men and women of God out of you. Because God is for you and not against you. And if you don't know Christ this morning and you're experiencing some difficulty or tensions or some discomfort, or you're just at the bottom and you're ready to give your heart to Christ, the plan of Calvary, the plan of the resurrection, the plan of the Easter celebration was just and is just for you. Because Jesus loves people. Give the Lord a hand this morning, church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.